And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. Going to get a few text messages. Big Al from Harvest says, in the childhood game, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, Trump is the red robot and Biden's the blue robot, and Trump is knocking his block off. Did you have Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
I personally didn't, but I played with them a lot.
Those were the best.
Mm-hmm.
I was always jealous if somebody had it, and you know, and I didn't.
One of my classrooms had it in there. One of my teachers had it in there that we would play with, yeah.
In your classroom?
Yeah, during our breaks, we would play with it, yeah.
Nice. Tony from Franklin, Tennessee says, with Biden, it was Chinese checkers. Oh, I see what you did there. With his payoffs, he says. That's awesome. Kano from Layton says, hang on a second. What do we got here? I tell you what, Kano, I'm gonna have to get back to your text, man. I apologize, but again, I haven't gotten a chance to read through it yet before I read out, because it's talking about an event, and I'm not sure that I'm ready to read out about somebody's event. I don't do that just cold. So, but thank you for that. He also, and by the way, Kano's saying, I realize you may not be able to read this on the air. Thanks, Kano. I appreciate that. Yeah, we are governed strictly, and we are a business, so we have to handle some things carefully. Lynn from Knoxville, Tennessee says, it's Lynn from Knoxville, but listening from Fort Hood. Yes, Fort Hood. That's right, the hood. So I left Redstone when Biden came on board, but I'm 100% behind Musk. Thanks, Lynn, and thanks for your service. And by the way, in whatever capacity you're at Fort Hood, thank you for being there. I know they call it, is it Fort Cavazos now, I believe? I have family members that were stationed at Hood, and they said, well, you know why they did that. So they can call it Fort Cav, because that's where the 1st Cavalry Division is. And not only that, but the 3rd Cavalry Regiment is there. So anyway, Lynn, thank you. Appreciate you very much. Jeff from Indiana says, I find it kind of pathetic that our government workers have become so pampered they don't think they have to answer to their bosses. So I know in my world I had to answer to my boss, and if I didn't want to answer to my boss, I'd tell him to take his job and shove it, and I'd merely get to go on down the road because I have a desired skill that people are willing to pay for. I can have a job in 5 minutes. If you can't do that, you might want to question your worth as an employee, because everyone's looking for good people. So, Jeff, your point's well taken. I will say this, Jeff, not to like try to correct you, but I'm not going to broad brush every employee. There's some great folks out there, many of whom, like Lynn from Knoxville a minute ago, loves what's happening and probably sent her email in. So there's some good ones out there. The complainers, they are indeed a problem, and I suspect they would be a problem no matter where they were. You know what? That kind of grumbling tends to be something that travels with them. They need a course correction in life before they get a course correction in their job. All right, listen, we're going to change gears here in a minute, and I'm going to let me just stay on the thread of that text. This thing about government employees, there are true cuts, but I want to frame the discussion this way. I pulled a piece off the Daily Caller, Dateline today. Jobs rain down on the federal government while middle America watches private sector gigs vanish. It's true. The article points out that there's been a growing number of American private sector workers who've been laid off in recent years, while government workers have faced much lower layoff rates. In 2024, the layoff and discharge rate for all U.S. non-farm payroll jobs ranged between 1 to 1.1%, while the government layoff discharge rate was 0.3%. Great disparity. That's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, by the way. U.S. employers reported 761,358 jobs cut in 2024. Only 38,000 of those cuts were government, according to a January report from a firm called Challenger Gray and Christmas. In January of this year, 49,759 job cuts, only 288 of those were government. According to a February report from that same Challenger Gray and Christmas firm, comparing that to January of 2021, U.S. employers cut 79,552 jobs. Only 19 of those were government jobs. What we're telling you there is the Biden years were great if you were in government. They were awesome. The private sector has been hemorrhaging employees over the last 4 years, while the government jobs never seemed to have a problem. Like, apparently they never ran out of money for that, right? The fact is they really did. This one particular expert cited in the article said it's been an exceptionally low layoff rate for federal government these last 4 years. It's been lower than normal. It's even been lower compared to state and local governments. Their layoff rate is 50% higher than federal government. And employing federal workers is also much more expensive than employing private sector workers. The article points out the average cost for benefits at all levels of education was 43% higher in the federal employee than it was for private. So all that to say, keep in mind that what we're looking at is when you take it in its totality, the very difficult situation that some people are finding themselves in by losing a job, which I'm not minimizing it, I'm not mitigating it. It's real. It's tough. But the private sector has been dealing with it and bouncing back from it for years, while the public sector has been roughly immune by comparison. And yet it costs so much more to keep a public sector job in place because of all the union negotiated terms and benefits and wages. And so now we're down to the point that if we're going to say we're going to do something about this $36 trillion in debt, and oh, by the way, the bloating of federal government, if we're going to say that we're going to do something about it, there's only one way to do something about it, and that's to right-size government. And it's painful. It absolutely is painful. I acknowledge that it's painful. It's tough in the private sector, too. It's painful. You hate when you have to let somebody go. You know what? It's easy when you let them go for cause, like when they screw up. It is hard when you have to let them go because you just don't have the ability to pay them. Or you watch them walk out the door because they can't get paid what they need. So all that to say, private sector does that as a matter of course, because that's what you do when you're running a budget-conscious, streamlined, efficient business. The government has not had that problem. In fact, the government sector has largely been protected, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And what we're watching now is the right-sizing of government. I'll tell you about who's losing jobs. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville-like back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And yes, I do mean to say there is actual big old swatches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. All right, so I mentioned to you before the break that a report in the Daily Caller, which cites the Bureau of Labor Statistics, clearly indicates that the public versus the private sector in terms of layoffs, and by the way, there are times when layoffs and reduction in forces are just part of the natural course of events. It's not like there's, like right now, we have a policy of culling the herd, if you will. We have a policy of saying if there's a bloated department, if there are people not doing a good job, if there is a DEI office, if there is something related to the Green New Deal, all these and more, that we're doing away with it. But sometimes that just happens. Like I mentioned to you, in the beginning of this year, 49,000 jobs nationwide were cut. Only 288 of those were government. In January of 21, at the beginning of the Biden administration, 79,000 jobs were lost in January of that year. Only 19 of them were government. Of the jobs lost in all of 2024, which was 761,358 jobs, in all of 2024, only 38,000 of those were government. What does that tell you? The private sector takes more risk. There's that. The private sector has to balance its budgets. The private sector has no choice but to make cuts, whereas the public sector, generally speaking, does not. But under the Biden administration, it was higher than normal. We have, for the last 4 years, watched the growth of government. And a part of that was because of, A, DEI becoming all the rage and them creating entire departments across the nation for DEI. And then there was the Green New Deal, the infrastructure, the infrastructure bill, the Build Back Better. You had the whole idea of the Inflation Reduction Act. A lot of that poured money back into government, and they grew departments to deal with the agenda items, to include upfunding USAID. Incredibly, all right. So what's happened? Well, I got an article right here, and you know what was crazy? I had to go to a local news source to find the best recounting I could find of where the cuts are coming right now. So since the election and since the assumption of office by President Trump and his administration, we're watching as, yes, there are federal employees that are losing their jobs at a higher rate than normal. Let's talk about where they are. In the Department of Education, dozens of probationary employees, meaning they were still in their probationary status and they're let go. Dozens of probationary employees were let go on February 12th. In the Department of Homeland Security, 400 employee positions at DHS were eliminated. Half of those came from FEMA. Okay. A lot of those came from DEI offices. Department of Energy, 2,000 workers have been fired from the Department of Energy, including the National Nuclear Security Administration. That's interesting. I'm sure we could dig into why. How about USAID? Well, USAID, the fraudsters of all get out. I mean, USAID has been just a complete goat rodeo. USAID, 10,000 staffers placed on leave. Only 600 of there still working in their existing roles. Those on leave are expected not to be brought back because it's being rolled into the Department of State. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, that was the other major fraudster claim. 1,700 employee agency. Well, they were all on the chopping block, but they filed a court action and it is currently stayed, so they're on administrative leave right now. Department of Veterans Affairs, 1,000 employees fired from their role on February 13th. The EPA, oh boy, the EPA fired 388 probationary employees. Department of Health and Human Services lost 700 workers from the Centers for Disease Control and thousands from the National Institute of Health and the Food and Drug Administration. I don't think anybody's crying over those. Department of the Interior. 2,300 people let go from the Department of Interior, approximately 800 of which were from the Bureau of Land Management. That was the hyper-regulatory departments that were making it difficult for farmers and oil drillers to do their thing. How about the Office of Personnel Management? 200 probationary employees were told they were let go. General Services Administration, 100 people laid off from GSA. Small Business Administration, 720 employees lost their jobs. That's a 20% reduction in that force at Small Business Administration. Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, 6,000 new and newly promoted Internal Revenue Service employees across the country were laid off on February 20th. 6,000. The layoffs began on February 20th, impacting roughly 6-7% of the agency's 100,000-person workforce. The main offices for that were in Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Tennessee, and New York. Department of Defense. The Pentagon announced on February 21st it will release some 5,400 civilian probationary workers beginning the following week and freeze hiring in the first wave of what could be a more than 70,000 fired employee base. I expect that will not go that high, near that high. They actually expect 5,400 probationary workers to be released in the initial run. So if you're a probationary employee with a DOD, then yes, you're on the chopping block. That is tough stuff. I am not going to try to pretend it's not. I take no glee in it whatsoever. I'm reading you the facts. That right there was a statement of facts. But I hope you saw that I caveated it by saying the bloating of government over the last 4 years and the inability of the Biden administration to recognize that it was bloating and the hemorrhaging of jobs in the private sector, this is a right-sizing of government. This is also developing a new version of homeostasis, because we cannot sustain a growing government if the private sector is not on equal footing. Because it's the private sector that funds the public sector. It just is. There are going to be the occasional revenue generators within government, but by and large, government runs on the dollars generated by the private sector. All that to say, if the private sector is overwhelmingly taking the hits in a bad economy, then the public sector is out of whack, and eventually there's going to be a right-sizing or the whole thing flips over due to being top-heavy. All right, now, is there anything in Alabama being affected? Sure there are. I will tell you that one of our liberals in the Alabama delegation, we have those? Yes, we do. One of the liberals is Congresswoman Terry Sewell. Congresswoman Terry Sewell, one of our two Democrats, is now just claiming she's up in arms. She tweeted out on Tuesday, yesterday, that her office received reports that more than 100 constituents at the Social Security Administration in Birmingham were unjustly terminated. Well, unjustly is a pretty broad-based statement. But I'm just looking at this and going, you know what? I can't explain it. If it's true, it's not confirmed yet. But the reality is, ask yourself why, and then tell me why it's unjust. Unjust.
That it drives me crazy when they're trying to say because jobs are leaving, like it's a bad thing. Like, I get it. Like, people are losing their job. That sucks. But I feel like it's the part or the job of politicians to not have wasteful jobs. Like, I feel like just them saying that them taking away a job, quote, is a bad thing. It's like, if the job is wasteful and doesn't help Alabama or the nation, then yeah, it should go away. Like, it just annoys me that they label as, you know, this action will take away this amount of jobs. It's like, well, then those jobs shouldn't have, those jobs were, you know, wasteful, you know?
Yeah, they're either no longer necessary, or they weren't necessary to begin with, or we just can't afford to keep them. I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
I'm annoyed with the negative connotation that everything that takes away a job is bad. It's like, no, that's actually the job of the government, I would think. So
now some people are screaming about how it's going down. So a piece here I pulled off Fox, Dateline today. USAID, which is the one that's axing the most employees, USAID, their employees are given the 2 days of this Thursday and Friday to show up and get their stuff. And they'll be escorted in and escorted back out. They will not be allowed computer access. The real reason for that is they're no longer trusted. USAID was such a gluttonous trough of slop to fund liberal agendas. I mean, I've got an article. I think it's in my stack. There was a news report came out yesterday that a LGBTQ activist group in Great Britain is having to cut its staff because it lost its USAID grant. What are we funding a gay activist group in Great Britain for? Why are American taxpayers even doing that? Well, all that was coming from an environment of, it's like a culture of just kind of like corrupt, progressive agenda. Let's spend the money because it's not really ours anyway and just pretend that it's all good. That's where we were at USAID. So USAID, their employees, according to this piece I pulled off of Fox, they've got this next couple of weeks and they've got to... they've got to get their stuff. And they have to bring their own box. they'll be escorted in and escorted out. I got a call with about a minute or so for the break. I'll take it real quick. Tom from Gurley. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Doing just fine. Yes, we do have liberals, and some of them are Republicans. Anyway, that article with Terry Sewell, I read somewhere today that she had to retract that because it's 100 people in the region, not Alabama. Yeah, there were some in Alabama, but it's a lot lower number than that.
Wow. Wow. No, that figures. I mean, what I've seen over and over again is that the liberal hyperbole is you know, jump out there with a statement and worry about the facts later.
Facts? Don't let those get in the way.
Absolutely. Tom, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate you.
All righty.
That figures. That absolutely figures. One more piece before I go to the break, and then I may be done with this segment. Although I got to tell you, the whole chat logs at the NSA, did you see about that? That's kind of gross. I may talk about that after the break.
Kind of gross?
Kind of. Very gross. Kind of awful. But CNN actually dared to say, article in The Federalist, Dateline 2 days ago, CNN is warning that intelligence employees who get the axe are valuable. Those same employees might sell national secrets if they're fired. I got news. If they have a security clearance and they sell national secrets because they lost their job, they were probably a security risk to begin with. People don't become security risks immediately. Now, granted, they might say, well, I needed to pay the bills. No. If you were read on to the program and then you were read off to the program, you know what your parameters are. And if you're the kind of person who's going to go out there and sell state secrets because you're mad at Trump, then you were the kind of person who was going to sell state secrets anyway. That's all there is to that. But yeah, the propaganda press is just doing all it can right now to just make Trump look like a madman, exposing CIA secrets. I mean, really? That's what you're saying? Well, they've got security clearances. Well, what do you do when they retire? What do you do when they leave on their own volition? What do you do when they go in the hospital and they have to retire medically? What do you do when they go out on family medical leave or maternity leave? They carry the same clearance out the door with them no matter how they leave. And if you're going to say it's because of Trump, they might sell state secrets. That's a character flaw. That's not a Trump flaw. My God. The hyperbole is just, you know what? I'm beyond it. I'm done with it.
At the same time, though, I think that's a sign that we're winning because it's all they got. All they got's the hyperbole, you know, so.
Thank you for bringing me back around.
I know. The hyperbole doesn't even deserve a valid response a lot of the times, I don't think.
I'm going to get you a piece of chocolate for that one. Take me to a break, JP. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. I got a few text messages before we get to the top of the hour, and I got to tell you, this thing that happened, though, it almost deserves a dipper by itself. The chat logs at the National Security Agency. Holy crap. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we're going to have the Grand Council. We'll come back to the next break with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, joining me for our weekly round of the Grand Council, where we ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. It's actually gets pretty lively at times, so stand by for that. And let me just ask you this, JP. Oh, JP.
What's up?
JP,
mm-hmm.
Did you see the news about the chat rooms at the National Security Agency by intelligence people?
I did.
They were not intelligent people, but they were intelligence people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even read some of the stuff out on the air. In fact, I know I can't.
Yeah.
We might have to be sanctioned by the FCC for this.
Yeah.
If we tried to read it out on the air. So y'all, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, here's the deal. Story that broke, Christopher Rufo, who has been basically a great exposer, if you will, of all things woke. He works for, what's the institute he works for right now? It's not Heartland. Darn it. But Christopher Rufo is now with, not Heritage, find out who Christopher Rufo is with. But he divulged that he had been given information regarding National Security Agency personnel maintaining sex chats on official government channels. They have an internal communication system, and they set up chat rooms. What we're also finding out now is it was somewhat sanctioned as a DEI thing because it gave people in the LGBTQ and transgender an arena to communicate at work. And what they really did was they got on there and they talked about their sexual fantasies. They talked about how their transgender ideologies, or for that matter, their transitions, were progressing and sharing back and forth what they really loved about their new bodies and all the things that it. And you look at it and go, my God, you're on government time using government servers in a classified environment. And this is not a little bit. This was a lot. It was to the point of makes you wonder, did they get any work done, if you know what I'm saying? Who's he work for?
Is it Manhattan Institute?
Manhattan Institute. Thank you very much. Christopher Rufo with Manhattan Institute. But there are right now over 100 people that are probably about to lose their job. So the first story I had came from The Federalist. Second story comes from Fox News Dateline yesterday. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard now moves to terminate and revoke the security clearances of NSA employees tied to these explicit chat rooms. When I say they're explicit, like I said, I can't read out the things that are in these chat rooms. This was like the basest and grossest of stuff. This was like telling everybody what I did last night, or here's how you should try and do it. And just like, good gosh, y'all. Is there any level of professionalism that says that's okay in the work environment? Well, Tulsi Gabbard says no, and rightfully so. She said this. She said to Jesse Waters, we got to take a step back because this is barely scratching the surface. Said, when you see what these people were saying, this is Tulsi Gabbard, when you see what these people were saying, they were brazen, using an NSA platform intended for professional use to conduct this kind of really, really horrific behavior. She says, and they were brazen in doing it because when's the last time anybody held them accountable? Certainly not over the last 4 years, maybe not in the last 10 or 20 years. and we look at some of the biggest violations of the American people's trust in the intelligence community. She says it's all still being uncovered, more and more of it. But then she said these disgusting chat groups were immediately shut down when President Trump issued his executive order ending all the DEI insanity. What does that tell you? These were sanctioned chat groups. She says the chat logs in question stemmed from the DEI-focused groups on the NSA's Intel Link Messenger titled LGBTQIA and IC Pride Working Groups. Those aren't working groups. That's DEI agenda-driven, do-it-in-your-own-spare-time madness, get it out of our intelligence arena. My God. I know it's not everybody. I know it's not. It's a small microcosm of people. But it also shows you what was being actually allowed during the last administration. Go check out the articles yourself. Just don't read them in front of your kids.
Not just allowed, but promoted.
Oh, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Grand Council coming up.